Welcome back to the Book of Proverbs. We are right in the middle at chapter 15, and we begin with one of my all-time favorites. Chase Acuna is with me, Peyton Jones, and Chase, you have the honor of one of my favorite verses, verse 1. Why don't you read it for us?
Yeah, Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So I'm going to state something that sounds really elementary, but if there's an existing fire and you add more fire to it, it just makes more fire. Elementary, but important to remember and easy to forget in the heat of a confrontation with someone else. Yet the wisdom found in this proverb provides a remedy for an otherwise heated situation. While a harsh word can definitely make things worse, a gentle answer can often diffuse situations. So how does this happen? Well, imagine for the fire, instead of adding more fire, you decide to pour some water on it. And I've learned from experience, heated exchanges getting more heated is almost never beneficial. But when people are thinking soberly and continue the conversation with a desire to understand the other, this is almost always beneficial.
You know, I absolutely love that proverb. I know it's totally obvious, but it's so brilliant. Thousands of dollars in relational counseling can be found in that one little verse. This is actually one of the verses that I call Proverbs to Prevent Punishment. I'll explain that part later. But a gentle answer turns away wrath. That one little insight can save you a lifetime of unnecessary arguments, heartache, and division in your most treasured relationships. You have to learn it. You have to use it. You have the power to end or extend an argument. So choose wisely. Just give a gentle answer. Practice it with your siblings. Apply it with your spouse especially. And this one totally helped my marriage, honestly. Now, a gentle answer isn't weak and it's not disingenuous. It's still honest. You're still speaking truth. It just chooses words and tone that don't hit so hard. You can convey the same meaning, but do it gently. But it says a harsh word stirs up anger. If you choose words that hurt, they will hit you back, and you will both suffer the consequences for hours. So choose wisely. All right, love that one, but we're going to keep moving and keep getting some more wisdom. Peyton Jones, why don't you take us to the next verse?
A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. Now, I have to read this in the ERV. If you are happy, your face shows it. If you are sad, your spirit feels defeated. I did not know that the Bible had a version of the kid song. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. But I'm this many years old when I discovered this. YouTube penned the words, "Your face caught up with your psychology." And that's what this verse is about. Funny enough, psychology eventually caught up with what the Bible has always known about people. The Bible's always been ahead of its time, and this verse, "A happy heart makes a face cheerful," is true. People who are happy wear it on their face, which pulls the face down and creates worry lines, demonstrating that Proverbs is full of maxims of an astute observer of life. Now, the opposite, heartache crushes the spirit, means it saps your energy and weighs you down, and it creates a frown in the process. Your whole face will fall as your heart falls with it.
Your face will surely show it. Why do I feel the need to clap my hands right now? Like, I have a deep set instinct telling me, clap your hands and stomp your feet. Now, looking ahead, verses 10 and 12 actually work together, and they deliver some keen insight on receiving correction. Earlier, I mentioned the Proverbs that prevent punishment. That was actually something I used in my math classroom to help kids stop getting in the same trouble again and again. They do something wrong, I'd give them a 3x5 card, and they would write the proverb on it and keep it in their back pocket until they had it fully memorized. When the situation arises that got them in trouble the first time, they were supposed to get the proverb out and review it. Correction is our primary path to growing in wisdom. It's not about punishment, it's about improvement. So, speaking of correction, take a look at 15:10. Stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path, the one who hates correction will die. Now, back in chapter 12, hating correction was stupid. But what happens when stupid persists? It just keeps on leaving the path of wisdom, keeps on hating correction. First, the discipline gets stern in verse 10. But hate correction long enough, and you'll discover that that kind teacher or parent or friend who was correcting you all that time was trying to save your life. The one who hates correction will die, but the fool just won't listen. And then look at verse 12, a couple of verses later. Verse 12, they resent that correction, so they avoid the wise, the teacher, the pastor, the true friend. They just ghost him. Because a mocker would rather be smug and wrong than humble and right.
I like the image of leaving the path here. It's a dangerous thing to do out in nature or in life in general. The path represents the well-worn way that people have taken for generations. Life works a certain way, and others before you have figured it out. Whenever I'm on a path and see log steps or rocks move to mark the edges, I think, someone was here before me and braved this same wilderness, but they left me a helpful way to navigate me safely to where I'm going.
I love that imagery. It's so powerful. You know, I have to admit, this is an area I really struggled with as a young man. I hated correction. I hated it. But this is also an area that I can really see God's work in my own life. He humbled me through a lot of trials, and I'm not the foolish man that I once was. I took this wisdom to heart, and I made it my personal goal to love correction. Now, I still don't like it or enjoy it. Correction still hurts, but I love it. I value it, and I listen to it. And Peyton, I believe you have a verse that speaks more to the positive side of correction. What verse do you have for us?
Verse 31, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. I've never improved in anything in my life without heeding life-giving correction. It doesn't matter if it's an athletic coach, an academic tutor, or a mentor guiding me in teaching or something else. If I can take the pain of admitting I could do better, I'll be able to be better. When Roger Bannister achieved the seemingly impossible 4-minute mile in 1956, it became the new standard. And multiple people achieved it that year once they knew it was possible. Those athletes began to look to Bannister and learn from his example. And in a short time, they too were at home among those wise athletes who'd reached new standards. Receiving life-giving correction does the same for us. It shows us a new standard and helps let us know that we can achieve new heights of wisdom and be at home among the wise. I don't know about you, but the Wisdom Club sounds a lot better than the Hall of Shame.
So good. Chase, do you have any thoughts about accepting correction?
Yeah, I think it was something that Peyton said where he basically had mentioned that it's when we recognize that we have a need for correction or growth, as hard as that is, that really is the key and the conduit to being able to become better. And I've seen that so many times in my own life as well.
That's it. It's our secret of our success. You have to be corrected and get better. If you don't like correction, take a good look in the mirror, because this is as good as you are ever going to get.
It's like Proverbs has given us a choice. A little bit of pain now or a lot of pain later.
So good. And we got one last verse to go to. Chase, take us to verse 28.
Verse 28 says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Words are powerful. As one author put it, words can be either like bullets or seeds, taking life or giving life to the hearer. The righteous recognize the impact words can have, and so they consider the weight of those words before they answer others. The wicked, in contrast, can't help but gush out words that do damage to others. You know, I imagine that as much as they might try to keep it in, it just cannot help but come out of their wicked hearts. So how does someone become one whose words give life to its hearer? Here are two things according to the scriptures. First and foremost, we must look to Jesus to transform our hearts. As Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of one's heart that the mouth speaks. And secondly, give thought to a word's impact before speaking.
That's so good. That's so good. This one, actually, I love that we rounded out the chapter. At the beginning was one of my best proverbs for my marriage. This one actually is so good for me right now. And I love the visual picture there. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers. It's like I can see a scale inside the heart of a wise man that just before he speaks, just takes a moment and sets out those words on the scale and figures out, is this going to hurt? Or is it going to help? And if they're not sure, one of the things that actually I didn't implement until about 2 years ago in my marriage, I just started writing myself notes. If you're not sure, don't say it. If you're not sure, don't say it. And I wrote it on sticky notes because you can't take the words back, right? And it really is, it's the heart of this verse. You have to weigh it out. And if it might hurt, don't take that chance. Wait till tomorrow. See what the words look like tomorrow. You got time. There's wisdom in patience, but the mouth of the wicked just gushes, just lets it all go, just lets it fly, never turns off the tap, never takes a moment to weigh out the words, see if they're going to hurt or help. But the wise take time with the word, with your words, with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends. So important. And that is all the time we have. Thanks, Chase. Thanks, Peyton, for sharing your wisdom. You guys listening, read Proverbs 15. Take some time to take in that wisdom. Maybe write down a couple 3x5 cards, give you some nice proverbs to prevent some punishment in your life, and we'll meet you back here in chapter 16.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.